Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on our Friday evening, on Halloween Friday evening. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. In the second half of the show, we'll continue our election coverage and we'll hear from the write-in candidate for Fallsburg, Brett Buddy. But first, for the New York Public News Network, New York could enter the national fight over redistricting. And things are down to the wire in the New York mayoral race. Andrew White and Jimmy Verkind, the New York Public News Network, are here to talk about a new lawsuit and other big stories this week in New York politics.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Andrew.
All right, so you reported this week about voters from Manhattan and Staten Island filing a lawsuit Monday that could have big implications for races for Congress. They are challenging district boundaries. Bring us up to speed here.
So the voters, some of whom are Black and Hispanic, they say that they're marginalized by the current district lines. So Staten Island is right now joined with Southern Brooklyn, and it's kind of thought of as a Republican district. Nicole Malliotakis represents it. And these voters argue that because generally white communities are kind of united together in this district, they are disenfranchised. So they're suing under the state's Voting Rights Act to say that the lines should be drawn in a way where people who are not white have more of a voice in their pick for Congress.
Okay.
So the significance of this is actually not about the merits of that dispute. It's that if this lawsuit succeeds, it would have big implications because New York could end up drawing new congressional maps in the next few years. And that could, in turn, help one political party, namely the Democrats, who control all the levers of state government.
Right. And just remind us why we're talking about redistricting now. It's something that's done every 10 years. This New York just went through this process.
Exactly right. It happens after a new census that came out in 2022. But what's happening now is that several red states, including Texas, have redrawn their lines to help Republicans. So Democratic states are doing exactly the same thing. And it's a classic arms race, tit for tat. And Democrats in New York, like Governor Hochul, say that they want to get involved. They want to fight fire with fire. And of course, Andrew, the big stakes here are that the House of Representatives is very, very close controlled between Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
The elections in 2026 are going to be very hard fought. And really, this is kind of a game of inches. So anything that can give you a boost is worth doing, according to members of both political parties.
Mm-hmm.
New York hadn't been part of this conversation because our state constitution prohibits mid-decade redistricting. But if the maps were thrown out, then they could draw a new one. Some Democrats, like I said, Governor Hochul is pushing for that. Another one is State Senator Mike Gennaris from Queens.
But we obviously have to get engaged and not sit on the sidelines while red states are bastardizing the makeup of Congress.
So Gennaris also supports changing the state constitution, which would explicitly allow for mid-decade redistricting.
So is it going to happen and when?
Well, that's really hard to say. You know, when I talked about this at first, I think I said the word could about five times.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things that need to happen to get new maps in place. You know, amending the Constitution is cumbersome. It takes usually 2 or 3 years. It would also require a statewide referendum. So the earliest that could happen is 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can expect Republicans to argue hard against this lawsuit and against any changes. You know, these current districts, which have yielded GOP representatives in 7 of New York's 26 seats in the House, were drawn under the supervision of a judge. So they're considered to be kind of independently authored. John Faso is a Republican who served in Congress. You know, he tends to argue for these things on the Republican side. And he says he thinks it'll be very hard for people to convince a judge to throw out the current map.
I think the courts will look very dubiously on this litigation.
Faso and other Republicans called the lawsuit frivolous and politically motivated.
We'll have to see if this one goes through the courts. And of course, we're talking about Congress and the 2026 election. But we have an election that's now just, a few days away here. Hundreds of thousands of people, in fact, have already voted in early voting. And of course, as we've talked about, the big contest that a lot of people are watching is the New York City mayoral race. Take us up to speed in the home stretch here.
Seems like former Governor Andrew Cuomo's got some momentum.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see if it's going to be enough. There have been a few polls released this week. All of them show that Democratic nominee Zoran Mamdani maintains in the lead by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we also saw, though, is in the early voting, older voters, the boomers, the Gen Xers, who I guess we're now calling older, have been coming out more heavily in the early voting than happened in the primary election. Hmm. Remember that back in June, the crowd that was younger, right. new voters, younger voters, they were overrepresented in the early tallies. And we know that the younger voters are tending to break for Zoran Mamdani, but the older voters are tending to break against him. So, you know, all of this is giving Cuomo reason to feel bullish. There are some big dollar donations that are starting to pour into his super PACs, including another $1.5 million that former mayor and billionaire Michael Bloomberg seemed to have in his couch cushions or something like that.
Right. Okay. So it seems to be good news maybe for Cuomo. What about Mamdani? Where does his campaign stand here?
Well, he's the front runner. So it's a classic, to use the sports metaphor, he's just trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
You know, it's the argument. What do you call the guy who got elected with 51% versus 60%? You call him mayor.
Still, right.
Yeah, so he only has to win by a vote. And right. he held a big rally over the weekend with supporters arguing this is our time, continue to reinforce his message. Actually, one of the moments that actually stood out to me from that rally came when Governor Kathy Hochul took the stage. You know, she's a more moderate Democrat than Mamdani. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about how her endorsement of his campaign is something that I think could help her as she runs for re-election next year. But when she took the stage, the crowd started chanting.
So here's what we're going to do. Well, this crowd is fired up. All right. I can hear you.
So it was a little awkward. You know, Hochul has said she doesn't want to tax the rich, and we'll have to see how this plays out. Republicans, of course, use this as an excuse to tie Hochul and Mamdani together, right? If there's a benefit for Hochul with progressives, there's a potential cost with moderates and some conservative mm-hmm. Democrats and independents. And, you know, Representative Elise Stefanik, who's a likely challenger in 2026 for the Republican Party, said that the way Hochul placated that crowd shows that she's flip-flopped in her stance on income taxes.
Okay. And then speaking of Stefanik, she was out with news this week that she has written a book called Poisoned Ivies. I think you got to give her the title. And it's going to look at Stefanik's tough questioning of the presidents of elite universities. It's due out in April.
That's right. And I will read it like I read all the books that politicians write. Good for me. So to me, this is a sign that Stefanik has her eyes on a bigger stage. You know, politicians don't write books because they have some deep-seated literary desire. They do it to introduce themselves to a broader audience. Mm-hmm. So I think that this will be informative if Stefanik runs for governor, because it will show us how she wants to present herself. It will be an example of the narrative that she's trying to tell, perhaps as her campaign, if she launches one, is starting to get underway.
Okay, we look forward to your full book report once that comes out in April, but that'll do it for now. That's Jimmy Vielkind of the New York Public News Network. Thanks, as always, for coming in.
Thanks, Andrew. Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
That was the New York Public News Network's Andrew White and Jimmy Vielkind. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere for more election news and coverage happening next. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. And I'm your host, Patricio Robay.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I'm against it in Texas. I'm against it in California. It's pure political opportunism. So I just introduced a bill, a very simple bill, that says you cannot redistrict mid-decade with the very narrow exceptions of a federal court decision under the Voting Rights Act. And so that would say that none of these redistricting shenanigans that we're seeing in any state are allowed to happen.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, Jelani Cobb, Dean of Columbia Journalism School and a staff writer at The New Yorker. He'll talk about the current state of journalism and offer an insider's perspective on relations between universities and the Trump administration. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the Local Edition on a Friday. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We're continuing our local election coverage. Today, we're going to focus on the town of Fallsburg. Today, I'll be speaking with the write-in candidate, Brett Buddy, who is stepping up for the town supervisor. Just an editor's note, we did invite the Democratic challenger for the seats for the town supervisor race, Nate Steingard, but he declined our invitation. So we'll go forward. We're Brett Buddy's interview.
The town of Fallsburg, voters will see one name on the ballot for the town supervisor, Democrat and longtime council member Nate Steingard. But this also is a writing campaign underway. Brett Buddy, a Fallsburg farmer and community member, launched his own run for supervisor and is here to tell us why. So welcome to the program, Brett.
I'm running for town supervisor because I'm extremely worried about overdevelopment in the Catskills and in Fallsburg. I'm worried about our infrastructure. We have crumbling water mains. Many of you might have noticed the water restriction use warnings that have been coming out over the last year and a half. Some of you will be without water on this coming Wednesday because of a broken water main. So that's a big concern of mine. I also have a concern that are in the summertime, fire hydrants only have 15 minutes of water. And I'm concerned about our residents needing fire suppression and our first responders not being able to get to water when they need it. And, you know, that's an extremely dangerous situation. Also, another concern I have is a problem with first responders getting to calls when it's busy out here. And it's this is a well-documented problem. It's been in the press. It's also been brought up at town board meetings. And so that's a huge concern I have also.
Right. So, yeah, so those are some of the reasons why you decided to do a write-in campaign.
Honestly, I was planning on running for election next year. And I had a meeting where I met with Nate and another one of my concerns is the developments in Recreation One. I own a farm, and as many of you know, last year, one of my wells went dry during the summertime, and it happened to be a drought, but my well recovered after Labor Day, and the drought continued on almost into December, and that sort of raised my ears to the idea that once you're outside of the main aquifer, which lines the Neversink River pretty much, there's not as much water as we might think out there. And so I've found out that there's a development just down the road from me, Church and Majestic, 159 units of trailer parks going in or planning in there. And then just by driving around, I've spoken to two surveying crews within a half a mile of my place. And there's another place where there could be over 200 trailer parks put in right at the end of my road. And then just 3/4 of a mile down Church Road in the other direction, there's another possible 200 units going in. So when I think about that, and these are not on town water, these are in Recreation One, I'm really worried about myself and my neighbors running out of water when you have, you know, 600 units within a half a mile. And the reason I know about these is because I live in this small area. And recreation zone happens to be the largest zone in Fallsburg. The recreation zone happens to be the largest zone in Fallsburg. And so I just imagining these circles of half miles with all these developments coming in. And after talking to Nate, it didn't seem like he was prepared to do anything about it. And in fact, back in 2007, Nate Steingard, Steve Bigliani, voted in the loophole that allows this development to happen. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, if I wait a year, all of these developments will be in front of the planning board. And there's no way that we have the kind of citizen group that could combat, you know, 50 or 60 developments with 200 trailer parks or mobile homes in them. And, you know, that's a lot of package plants. And package plants are basically sewage treatment plants that are in the out in the country. And when they're overloaded, they leak effluent into our streams and groundwater. And so these are huge concerns for me. And I think if I could have, I would have waited. But I didn't think that was possible.
Right. Now, since you are launching a writing campaign, it's not only you launching a writing campaign. If you want to introduce the guests you have with you, other writing candidates who want to be on the town board?
Yeah, we have a fantastic team. There's three of us. And it's important that all three of us get on the board, because if we have three people on the board, we can change that zoning law in Recreation 1. So we have Dara Manzi running for town council and Josh Druckman running for town council. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Dara Manzi. I'm a native to the town of Fallsburg. My family has been living in the town of Fallsburg for over 100 years, and we have a lot of history. I'm a small business owner. I own a transportation company called Upstate Detours, and we do focus on economic development through tourism. I live in Woodridge. My feelings align with Brett and Josh, and I do believe that if we don't act now, there could be, well, there are potential problems down the line. So, you know, that's when I decided recently to get on board on this writing campaign, because I'm a concerned citizen. And I also believe that between Josh and Brett and I, that we have the ability to get people together and really include everybody. I think it's really important. I know Josh agrees with also our roundtable idea of having everybody get together and work together to make sure that the development, if it does happen, it's going to happen healthy and sustainable, and really to slow down this kind of progression that we have right now, because it is dangerous for our land. And I want to protect this land because I live here, my home, and it's incredibly important for all of us. So that's my say. Josh?
Hi, I'm Josh Druckman, also running as a write-in candidate for Town of Fallsburg Council. I'm a 23-year resident of the Town of Fallsburg. I'm a business owner. I own a business called The Outlier Inn, which is firmly in the Catskill, Borscht Belt tradition of tourism. People come from all over the world and stay with me. And it's really important that we preserve the natural beauty of the town of Fallsburg, because I really think that that's the key to long-term economic stability, economic growth. People have been coming up to the Catskills from New York City. For as long as New York City has existed, people have been coming up to the Catskills, and they come up for nature. And more of the nature in the town of Fallsburg is getting destroyed, is getting clear cut. And there's more development. I've watched it progress for the last 23 years, and it's really exploded exponentially since the pandemic. And it's really for that reason, amongst other reasons that Brett mentioned, that we decided to get involved in this race to try and stop this unsustainable growth in the town.
Right. Brett, like, so you basically you're saying that you don't think the zoning laws are meeting the requirements for the town as far as growth, having smart growth.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in development happening in the town of Fallsburg. I want to see it under control and working in a way that everybody's safe, that we have the resources we need, that the infrastructure is available. You know, these are the type of things I'm interested in. We're not anti-development. We are interested in making sure everybody's safe, that we're protecting this beautiful place that we live and love. And, you know, our people that come up here in the summertime to come here love that place too. You know, yeah. As I'm out on the campaign trail, I'm meeting people from all different walks of life that embrace this place for the beauty that it has.
Yeah. But let's talk about finances here. The county just released their preliminary budget, saying there's going to be a 9% increase in property taxes. Town of Fallsburg right now is voted the other day, and the town taxes will rise about 2.14%. I just want to see, what is your thought, or can you describe the current Fallsburg financial health right now?
I mean, I am under this, the understanding that we've missed a lot of opportunities for grant funding, infrastructure funding, and that needs to change. And part of the plan that we have to change that is we would like to increase what it costs to hook up to town water and sewer and pay for a grant writer to help us make sure we're getting the grants. I think that's a huge part of this solution here, is that rather than putting all of this infrastructure maintenance that we need to do and upgrading on the citizens, we need to get the money that's out there for us, you know, and we've missed it.
Right. So do you think the town is using taxpayers' dollars effectively?
It's, you know, honestly, I'm not involved in that end of things with the town of Fallsburg, but I would just say, look at how the town of Fallsburg is being run. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I go and I love the people that are working at the town of Fallsburg and I think they're doing their very best. But I go in there and just from a management position, I'm not talking about individual workers here, from a management position, when I go into the town of Fallsburg, it just feels like it's being run in a way that would be acceptable for a very small town. Fallsburg is actually the second largest town in Sullivan County. And I really believe we need a professional town that has a plan, a vision for the future. And I don't smell that. I smell a town that's taking care of disasters one after another, rather than having a plan. And, you know, we need a plan and we have one. Actually, if you go to our website at afallsburgforeverybody.org or afallsburgforeveryone.org, you can see our plan laid out there.
Right. I want to talk about, you mentioned about the town board, you know, in recent weeks, recent days, there's been a lot of infighting with the town board, public infighting with the town board over, let's say, regulations for over last minute resolutions being put in. How would you sort of work with the current board? Let's say you get in and it's current, some current board members are still there. How would you sort of work with them to sort of, you know, get all on the same path and get a working town board together?
Listen, Patricio, my door is always open to work with people. I'm a super open-minded fella, and I'm really interested in working with anybody on the town board. We have big problems, and it is going to take us all working together. And one of Josh's big interests is having a community roundtable where we are bringing all these voices together from our community, developers, summer visitors, local residents, homeowners, business owners in Fallsburg. And we need to hash these issues out and talk about real solutions that take the town and all of its individuals in mind. And, you know, this divisive stuff that's going on is not helpful. Like, we really need to come together. This is sort of an emergency in this town, and it takes everybody putting their guns at the door and like having a good listen and hopefully coming up with something that works for everybody.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Fallsburg of the future. You know, what is your vision for Fallsburg over the next couple of years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
I mean, first of all, we have a wonderful resource in Fallsburg, and it's like this fantastic place where there's a lot of really wonderful people in it and a beautiful place to come and visit. People come to visit my farm by the hundreds every summer to camp. And during apple picking season, I have thousands of people coming to visit my farm, and people love it here. That is what we need to embrace. We need to embrace our community. We got a wonky community that's like really fantastic. I mean, there's people with amazing stories in Fallsburg. And that's sort of like, we need to embrace each other and all work together for something that can be wonderful, you know? And that's a town that's working and takes the residents in mind. And, you know, we make sure that development serves everybody. You know, our wetlands and our streams and rivers, those are a public resource. Those wetlands, they clean the water that lands in your faucet. All of our water comes from the groundwater. And if we pollute those, that's not going to be here for us anymore. Like, that's a community resource. And our rivers, when they get polluted and the fish die in it, that's a community resource. People are coming from all over the world to fish our beautiful river. And if we kill the fish in it, they're not going to come anymore. And there won't be anywhere to swim, you know? So this is something we really have to work on together.
Now, so we access to all the candidates towards the end. Early voting is happening now. And come November 4th, when folks go to the polls, why should they write you in, you, Dara, and Josh, as the next town supervisor and town board members, instead of your opponents like Nate or anybody else?
I would just say, if you're happy with the way the town is running right now, then you should vote for our opponents. And if you think that we need to try something new, a group with a really strong plan that loves their community fully and embraces every corner of it, you should write us in. And I would implore you to reach out to your friends and neighbors and have them do the same. The only way we are going to win is if you reach out to your neighbors in Fallsburg, if you happen to live outside of there, and tell them about our campaign and make sure they write us in. It's so important. And if you live in the town, pick up your neighbor and drive them to the polls. I would like to add, just look at the way our campaign is running. We've got a full social media crew. We've got signs up. We're doing door knocking. We're doing phone calls. We're doing meet the candidates events. And this is the kind of organization that we're going to bring to our town. And if you can't tell we really want it, you're not looking.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. We're talking to Brett Buddy, who is a writing candidate for the town supervisor. He came along with his running mates, Dara and Josh, who are running for the town council, as well as writing candidates. Again, thank you so much for coming in. I do really appreciate it.
And that does it for the local edition tonight. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Check out our YouTube page and our WJFF election page for all other interviews we have. We'll be back on Monday with more election interviews. It's Halloween tonight. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you soon. Lucy, have a good night. Take care.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight for my monster.
Support comes from the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, whose 21st annual Small Works group exhibition, Art and Sixes, will be on view from November 15th until December 21st. More information at DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org. And from the Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new film releases, live music, and more. Information and schedule at CalicoonTheater.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
Hey, it's Jason Dole letting you know how you can help nourish our neighbors. More families are struggling to put food on the table. Local food pantries are stepping up, but they need help. You can donate non-perishable food, personal care items, or baby supplies, or volunteer to assist with distribution. It can make a real difference. Learn more at WJFFradio.org to help make sure everyone in our community has enough to eat. Radio Catskill, keeping our neighbors connected.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Jon Stewart on why America keeps falling for Donald Trump.
When someone comes along and goes, the system is rigged, and people go, yeah, it is rigged. Now, he's a good diagnostician. I don't particularly care for his remedy.
Jon Stewart joins me next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.